All righty. Good morning, everybody. My name's Pastor Rich, lead pastor here at Grace Point Church. And don't forget, next week, I want to anyway, one of the announcements. March 11th is Spring Forward. So we'll be opening the doors at 5 a.m. next week. Okay, so be here at 4:30 if you can, okay? When it's Spring Forward, just don't go to sleep. Just stay up. Just kidding. Anyway, let me give you another announcement, though. Everyone have heard of FPU, Financial Plan, Peace University? We're going to have a class on March 24th through May 19th. It's going to be downtown, as a matter of fact, at our Redbud YMCA. It's going to be from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock. We're opening up to the community. March 24th to May 19th, you go to our double doors to our welcome desk, give you more information. We'll have child care there. Financial peace is an amazing thing. We love for people to be free financially. We love you to tell your money what to do versus your money telling you what to do. Me and my wife was able to do that over 20 years ago, able to do that before my son decided to go to college. We thought he was going to go to college in Texas, and we were all prepared for that, and he decided to go to California, and we were prepared for that. We were able to drop a lot of debt and be debt-free when we were both able to retire and transition to our new careers. So I really highly recommend this class. If you have children, even it doesn't matter how old you are, it's never too late to have a good plan, retirement plan, college plan, all those things. But most of all, freedom. You want to live like no one else, so you can live like no one else. So, and financial peace is one of those amazing things. And again, it starts on March 24th. And you can go right to our doors here. Rebecca and David Brown are our facilitators. They're debt-free. They're home right now, not feeling good. We're going to introduce them next week. And this is their passion, to make sure that it doesn't matter if you're single or married, that we're walking in financial peace. Amen? Amen. So that was my announcement. And we're going to start a new series today called Bold. Everyone say bold. Bold. Say it again, bold. All right, I'm going to show you a short video quickly, if you can. There you go. So. Alrighty. And today we're going to start a series, 3-week series called Bold. And we're going to spend 3 weeks going through the first couple chapters of the book of Acts. And we're going to unpack the early church and how they were characterized by their boldness. And really, if you know about the book of Acts, it's really Jesus Christ working through the Holy Spirit, working through the apostles and unpacking some of the boldness. And then to me, I said, we all have a choice. We can either play it safe or we can seize the life that God has in mind for each and every one of us. When I think about boldness, I think about a young child or a young son. And each one of us, if we have kids, children, some of us have one of those boys that I call 150% boy, that there's nothing he's afraid of. If there's a counter, he is called to jump off it. If there's anything he wants to do that's kind of edgy, he will do it. Breaking an ankle means nothing to him. I was one of those boys. I decided the only way to get out the house fast was to ride my tricycle down the steps. And I hit the bottom. My top teeth went through my bottom lip. I made it. And back in those days, your mom asked, "Are you okay?" And you'll say, "Uh-huh." And then she'll say, she'll make sure you weren't. But I thought I can get out the house faster. I had no fear. When you look at the word boldness, it means when you're talking about speaking, outspokenness, assurance, courage, confidence, to act without fear. And when I think about boldness, I think about the church of Jesus Christ. And when I look at the book of Acts, I say, ask God, "God, how come we don't see that today?" He says, "You know, what you see in the book of Acts, you see bold faith matched with bold action. They acted on what they believed." You ever notice that? They acted. God said it, they did it without fear. Now, fear, you can't get rid of fear. It's always going to be there. But they acted on what they believed. That was amazing. And we'll unpack today called amazing boldness. Next week, we'll talk about bold prayers. And then we're talking about the last week, bold obedience, right before Easter. I believe the Church of Jesus Christ, we need to recapture our boldness. It's not about us. It's actually about Christ in us. And today we'll talk about a guy that we all are familiar with. Apostle Peter. How many know Peter? Peter was known for his bold intention. How many believe that? But also with his bold intention, he had timid action. Remember Peter? I will die with you, Christ. He skipped town later. Remember Peter? Denied Jesus. I'm going to die. He denied. He was bold. Now, he's the only one that's been rebuked by the Trinity. Peter was a rough guy. I can associate with Peter. His mouth went farther than his actions. He spoke a lot. And he had timid actions. If you grew up in New York like I did, the guys used to talk a lot, like they're going to hit you. They talk too much, they're not going to hit you. Because I used to tell them, the only thing that's difference between me and you is air. So that's it. And what it is just air. So when you look at Peter, he's an amazing guy. But we see a difference in Peter when we look in the book of Acts. We see the Peter who's Christ denying in the Gospels. And then we see a spirit-empowered Peter in the book of Acts. And how the Spirit of God transformed his life. And he was not, and how Jesus was able to keep him as a leader of the church. And you see in the book of Acts in chapter 2, when the Spirit of God fell, the Holy Spirit came and Peter stood up and he gave us a remarkable sermon. And 3,000 people got saved that day. And then you see them all and put them in small groups. We always talk about it. And then you see chapter 3, when Peter and John was heading to the temple. And they saw a man that was lame since birth. And the man was looking for him to give him some money. He says, silver and gold I don't have, but in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. And they pulled him up, and he started walking. And he got healed. Chapter 3, everyone was amazed by that. Chapter 4, they were so amazed. 5,000 more people got saved from one miracle. Because miracles always point you to Jesus. So after they got saved, after all that, the power of God was falling all over the place. Everyone was having a party. Everyone say party. Party. And along with a party comes persecution. Some guys call the Sanhedrin, Pharisees, the Sadducees. See, Sadducee? Should have known about the name. Was pushing back. I know. Two of y'all caught that. That's why I'm going to throw that. I didn't create that joke. I'm going to throw it out. That's the Kelvin. I'm not using that joke anymore. Anyway, I threw it out. And they said, we got to stop this. And they arrested him, pulled him in. Go to Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 8. In verse 7, they said, by what power and by what name did you do this? We want to know what's going on. Peter answers the question, because Peter is a witness. I love Acts 1:8. You shall receive power to be my what? Witness. It's playing out. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to him, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. Uh-oh. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation. There is no salvation. There is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished and they recognized they had been with Jesus. Now, this is the Sanhedrin. They're before the Sanhedrin. Now, Sanhedrin was an amazing council. They were responsible for the practices of the Jewish faith. And they didn't believe in the resurrection. Now, when they said the name Jesus, that was very decisive because they were responsible of killing Jesus. Not really, we were. Our sin. So that was a declaration of war. So Jesus, whom you crucified. They're saying, wait a minute, we killed him. Influence should have stopped then. Uh-oh, it spread. And it's spreading. I love 1 Corinthians. They were known by killing the King of Glory what was going to take place. They would never kill them. And it was decisive. It's like when you get asked to pray downtown. Pray for our meal. Can you say in his name? I said, whose name? His son's name. What's his name? Jesus. Well, why can't I say his name? Well, we might offend everybody. Why does a name offend everybody? Muhammad don't offend anybody. Why? Jesus said, my name is decisive. One thing about boldness, you become bold when you declare the name of Jesus. You can't hide. When someone, my God, that's great. But when you mention Jesus, then you'll find out exactly where they are. So, they're saying in verse 9, now this name, Jesus is the name, is the source of our miracle. Oh my God, she's the source of this power. Now this message that we're preaching to you, them 5,000 people got saved, he's the authority of our message. Because I'm just a fisherman. They're like, yeah, these guys are only just fishermen. You got to be kidding me. The power was the miracle. The authority was in the message. They seen that in Christ. They asked that in John 7:15. It says, they would say, by whose authority do you preach that? And Jesus said, my Father. Now you got disciples. Whose authority do you preach this? Jesus. They're like, oh my gosh. And then, you know, Peter, remember Peter? The one that's denied Jesus, he goes right in there now. Verse 10 and 11, he goes right there, you know. He says, Jesus, whom you crucified, you killed him, right? And you rejected him. And then he started using scripture. Psalms 118, 22. The stone that the builders, he called them the builders, rejected it has become the cornerstone. Now, they're amazed by them knowing that scripture. Because what they're saying is, the cornerstone was the one that was going to connect man and God. How would they know that? But most of all, he told them, you're a murderer. He got raw. That's bold. He's not running now. He's declaring now. That's amazing. Under the power of God. Think about it. Under the power of God. Under the power of rich, it's not taking place. I'm running. That's what you saw in the gospel. It was under the power of Peter. Under the power of God, I'm standing here. Jesus is in me. Jesus is the one doing all this. The one you destroyed. The one you killed. The one who raised this man. The one who healed this man. Jesus. The one who's getting me here. The one that's keeping me at 60 years old. Jesus. The one who healed my body from cancer, Jesus. Oh, him? Yeah. Do you know him? How come that's so hard to tell people? And then he gets in verse 12. He closes the door on everything that we're upset of, sometimes we get caught up in. Salvation is found in no other name under heaven. Now, he didn't say above heaven, he said under heaven. You know what he's saying? Anything under heaven? Jesus only. John 14:6, I'm the way. Come on, let's finish with me. And no one comes to the Father but. Isn't that decisive? Well, you know, my grandma. Now, there's no formula. It's a name. Well, you know, I'm searching for what? The one? You mean Muhammad? Nope. He was created. Next, he's on the heaven. In fact, he's dead. Go see him in the graveyard. In fact, every god that people try to prop up is dead. I used to live on an island. I used to go every year in November and go celebrate dead people. All their gods, they go to the graveyard and celebrate, have a meal with them. I can have a meal every week. It's called communion with a living God. He's alive. So if he's alive in me, I should be alive in him. Amen? Come on, y'all gotta say amen. See, so be it. Let's awaken our souls. I'm not weather related. Y'all getting it? We're like the weather. Oh, it's just not sunny out. So I'll come to church and amen. Well, come on now. Come on, this is church. Amen says, so be it. I agree, Lord, your word works. Right? Amen. Yeah, that means I will preach faster. If you say amen, if you don't, I will stay here for 4 hours. Someone will fall out, I'll pick him back up and sit him back down. No other name. Jesus. No formula. It's alive. Jesus is alive. Now, get down to 13. That's when it gets interesting. Because they're surprised that these guys know Psalms 118. They're like, this guy's a fisherman. How many of you feel like you're not adequate to share your faith? Okay. Because you don't know enough. Okay. Now, how many would say, I have a high school degree? You're smarter than the disciples. They were fishermen. The reason why they were chosen is because fishermen do not quit. They don't catch nothing today. Where you going tomorrow, honey? Going fishing. You don't catch nothing tomorrow. Where you going tomorrow, honey? I'm going fishing. They don't quit. Farmers don't quit. The seed does not quit. So they don't quit. That's why he chose them. Wasn't about their education, it was about their determination. Even when they ran off, he found them. Because you know, if I can empower them, they'll never quit. Here's a question. Why do we? They didn't have a Bible. All they had was a word and faith. And there were 12 of them. We get 50 and we're nervous. Make sense? Now, let's look at this. Now, when you see this in verse 13, the first thing I want to give you your first point is, it says this, Jesus gives ordinary people extraordinary boldness. What do you mean? Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men. Now, uneducated means ignorant, the way they're looking at it. Idiotes. That's what it means in the Greek. You know what he's calling them? Idiots. Uncommon means you're an idiot. Now, I couldn't even say the word in Greek because I'm from New York. And my teacher he'll fry me now if he hears this tape. He always said, Rich, you guys say, I'm saying, I'm from New York. I can't say it. You get someone from New England who can do that. Anyway, he called them idiots. You're an idiot. You're not classically trained. You're not rabbinically trained. You're not professional. You're not a pastor. You're an idiot. But this idiot knew Psalms 118, 22. These idiots. Can I give you a hint on this? They weren't pastors. Everything that God teaches us, guys, listen to this, is portable and transferable. If you come to Grace Point Church, everything I try to teach you is portable and transferable. I don't want to be the man of God that can only do what you can't do. If I got to share my faith, I want you to better share your faith your way. I'm exhorted by gift, but you have different gifts and callings that you need to get and use them your way. It's portable. You can carry your Bible with you. It's transferable because you know God tells you exactly how to do it. We need to be a church, and the body of Christ need to stop working on the word survival and think about superiority. We celebrate, we are fighting so hard just to make survival our mantra when we serve a superior Christ. Amen. Not being arrogant, just being confident. In me, there's nothing good. Zero, zilch. In him, all is well. Amen. Even we have our, sometimes we have, we put too much on, well, you know, I'm not, that says false. Humility, like it's all about you? No, it's all about Jesus and them. We gotta get out, well, I just made it, I paid all my bills. Yeah, but that's more than that. It's more than that. What about your neighbor? What about your coworker? They came in and said they were sick the other day. Did you pray for them? No, well, I didn't want to, because I didn't want to look. You ain't supposed to look good. You don't heal anybody. Jesus does it. And we get in survival mode, and then we have a checkout mode. Persecution is not going to get any simpler. It is not. Jesus said, we're not above the teacher. If they hated me, guess what? They're going to hate you in numbers. More. If you're trying to have a popular campaign, I'm popular. Hey, you're in the wrong. Christianity is not your bag. I lost my reputation. I don't know what. Well, y'all know me better than I do sometimes. But I don't mind that because it's about people. How we doing? Ordinary people, extraordinary balance, extraordinary boldness. Peter, denying Christ 2 chapters ago. Peter, bold. And we're going to read about him next week. Bold. That's the same Peter? Yes. What's the difference? Empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Jesus in him. See, the book of Acts is not a history book that we read like it's a museum. Let's just go to the museum of history. No, it's an open book that we're still writing. Next one is, if you're taking notes, your boldness will influence the world. Look at verse 13. They were astonished, right? They were so astonished on what they knew. How they know that? These guys are fishermen. They knew. Why? Because, you know, they knew. Now, here's two reactions to people. Some people will receive what you have to say. Some people won't. When they say, I don't care, and they get mad at you, you hit a nerve. You're doing well. I didn't want to hear what people had to say to me in the very beginning, but they hit a nerve. When they left me, I'm like, I wish they stopped. I won't think about this any longer. I wish they, and now when I try to go hang out, I keep thinking about that thing he just said. Why do you keep saying that? They left a seed. Then I got mad at them for leaving a seed. If they're mad at you, you got them. They're just as close. I mean, they're so close, right? All you got to do is send me over there and we'll just pray for them. You ever pray for somebody and their life gets worse? Keep praying for them. Y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. Keep praying for them. Right? Now, when was the last time someone was influenced by your boldness? by your service, your integrity, your generosity. How about your zeal, your witness? Man, when you first got saved and you were here before the doors opened to help, remember, hey, whatever you need to do, I'll change that light bulb. Remember that? What happened? Did we grow up? Or did we forget? Or we didn't let life knock us down? Life is going to knock you down. But Jesus picks you back up. Keeps going. One thing I learned. Whenever you take a great hit, or anything catastrophic happens to you, there's a point in life that phases that you gotta understand. Especially in walking with Jesus. You take a hit, you gotta know one thing, you gotta get back up. You got to brush off. There's some healing that takes place. Yes. But then you got to fight this thing about not playing to the hit. Because when you get hit, blindsided, or hit somewhere and knocks the air out of you, You get safe. You start playing life in safe mode. So you don't go that edge anymore to get hit anymore. But God calls us to go that edge to get hit again. But when you get hit, that just calcifies and it don't hurt anymore. It's like I have a tractor that I have at the house. I took it to get fixed, and it's a Briggs and Stratton engine, and the guy said, Rich, you got a lot of carbon in this thing. I said, what do you like carbon? I take care of it. I've changed the oil. He said, you got a lot of carbon. I mean, what do you do? I said, well, I take it and I cut it. I got 1.5 and I cut it. He says, yeah, well, what have you been doing? I said, well, I take it out, put it down. I'll run it. And he says, what power do you put? I said, well, I put it midway so I can save gas because gas is expensive. He said, what are you doing? What are you doing that for? I said, well, because it's expensive. He said, the engine wasn't made for that. The engine has to be in full throttle. You're going to tear the engine up. You're going to shorten the life of that engine. I learned that, so I put in, okay, all the gas, boom. And I look at the church today, we're kind of at this full throttle, not this half throttle. Because we took some hits. We haven't been perfect. But we're gonna foul out if we don't go back full throttle. We let little things stop us than that big things. Someone says something. Okay, let them keep saying it. Take another scar. I can show you a lot of scars. But I ain't going to stop my boldness. I'm going to get sick. I'm not, you know, I don't have time to get sick. I'll get sick on Saturday. Still things to do. Well, he's the healer. In Jesus' name. That's what I mean, until I find somebody, you know, lay hands on me. Something. See, what happens is someone needs a hero to follow behind. Someone needs a hero to say it's okay. Someone needs to say there is hope where the world's coping. You ever know? Everyone around us is coping now. They're trying to cope. They're using medication to cope. They're using everything to cope. And it's not working. Amen. And they're looking for hope. And we're running around trying to cope. Jesus, help me. Jesus, save me. Jesus, give me money. And he said, I already gave you all that. You're blessed with every spiritual blessing. Now give them hope. Yes. Right? Last time I checked, we're the hope dispensers. Wow. And we've come up with, well, 3 songs in a sermon. And our neighbor needs prayer. kids, middle school needs a lot of work. We know that. And parents can get mad, Christian parents get mad and yell at me, hey, go pray around the school. You'll drive all that stuff out. Stop complaining about teacher can't do nothing. That's spiritual. It was all spiritual. We're just starting to see it now. Oh, you want to know where it's at? There it is. You ask God, God, show it me. He's showing it to us. Now we hate it because he's showing it to us. It's our greatest hour. We have the hope. You will influence someone when you step out and say, hey, you know, I just want to pray for you today. And say, you going to pray for me? Yeah. Okay. You don't have to get all. Don't do that. Don't. If you're going to do that, don't say you from GPC, okay? Just... I got to finish this up. Do you guys know what I'm saying? When you talk about the Holy Spirit, we talk about sometimes the empowerment. I'm talking about we need empowered to be his witness. Last one is, boldness is a byproduct of knowing Jesus. See, they recognize one thing. It's undeniable. They kept saying, because next week we'll talk about the rest of it. Undeniable, they knew this. They had the power. They seen the power of God manifest in a guy who's been crippled for his birth. And they seen the power of their preaching, these people getting influenced by it. And third thing is, they said, the only one that is doing that we just killed was Jesus. So boldness is a byproduct of Jesus. Now, a lot of times when we do messages like that, I'm going to just get with Jesus to get boldness. See, the goal is not boldness. The goal is knowing Jesus. And the byproduct is boldness. See, the more time you spend in private, the more bold you'll be in public. I love what J.I. Packer says. I've been reading some of his books. Man, they've been ruining me. There's a difference between knowing God and knowing about God. When you truly know God, you have energy to serve him, boldness to share him, and contentment in him. I love when I did that. I said, there's a difference between knowing God and knowing about God. When you truly know God, you have contentment in him that gives me energy to serve him, and boldness to share him. Now, J.I. will get mad if I change it. It's your boldness. I'm been doing a lot because I know we're a visual generation now. I've been doing a lot of drawing and picking up drawings on. I want to show you just the cycle of boldness that you can get up in the morning and really figure this out. You see that little thing there, clockwise. You can draw that whenever you have time. But number one on that list should be time. See, time with Jesus builds my faith, which is number two. Time with him builds my faith. Not time about him. Time with him builds my faith. Which number three, when my faith is up, my boldness is number three. And then I'm fascinated because my boldness is up. And number four, you have spiritual results. See, there's a lot of self-help books that are great, but when it comes to the kingdom of God, the only thing we need is time with Jesus. And what we're lacking is faith, which will affect our boldness and results. So when you put Jesus not at the top of your list, he's the center of my life. Everything rotates around him. My priorities, everything about life comes in order. My boldness comes because I spend time. What I do in private, you should recognize in public. Right? Because when people look at you, what do they see? And who do they see? Now, before Christ, people knew where I spent my time. When I show up in the morning, I try to shave and try to look nice. And my supervisor, You say, I see you didn't get no sleep last night, huh? I'm on time. I look great. Yeah, that cologne's a little strong. Spent time in the club last night, didn't you? So how'd you know? Were you there? No, I wasn't there, but I can tell. You're a little off today. When my coach, when I didn't work out like I was supposed to off season, I could tell. You were hanging around McDonald's a lot, weren't you? As you could tell, my last drill was telling me, no more Big Macs, okay? But when people see you, what do they see? Who do they see is the center of your life? Am I the center of my life? Or is Jesus the center of my life? That's a big difference today. There's a new calling in Christianity today. It's about bold faith and bold action. Because around us, everyone's taking bold faith in whatever they believe, and they're taking bold action to make sure we don't believe what we believe. And we're the ones that have all the answers. There's the answer to cancer in this place. You're your neighbor's answer, who's about to get divorced, who's dealing with high anxiety. You're their answer, Christ in you. This one, you can take this when you go on lunch and we have it on our life group, but you can take this and eat this over lunch. You can think about this over lunch. How amazed are people by your boldness? 1 through 10, how amazed are people by your boldness? I tell you where I put mine. You'll think it's to the right. With the problem I'm learning, I've been too busy to deal with boldness. I've been busy, been distracted. When I should have been, opportunities come, I should have been bold, I was busy. And I use my busyness as excuse for boldness. I'm advancing the kingdom, I'm busy. I don't want to sell anymore for me Christianity any longer. What am I getting out of it? And those type of things. I met with someone last week. I told him I apologize for not doing the thing I was supposed to do. And I will make sure it gets done next year. I take full responsibility for it. I had bold intentions, but I came up short with my execution. And they appreciated me coming in and telling them that. I said, it isn't the church. It isn't the people of this church. It's me. So I will fix that. Because I'm going to realign some things in my life. Every ministry that you see in Grace Point Church is about one thing: the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why we help your kids go to camp so they learn the gospel. We're going to take them all the way to New Mexico to go to the gospel so they can share the gospel with someone else. Amen? I got two people I want to pray for who are bold, who are going all the way to South Africa without me. Where you at? Come on up, ma'am. Two sisters, believe it or not. Come on. It's Pastor John's wife. Pastor John, what are you doing back there? This is Suzette. So Sister Michelle. Michelle, and Suzette going to South Africa. Is anybody else on our mission trip going? Are they here or are they still coming back? Going to L.A.? Anybody L.A. here? Okay, some of our kids are coming back from that. Okay. Elder Terry and Miss Robbie, come on up. One thing about, I love about sermons, boldness is, they've never been to Africa. It's our first time we're doing this. We have an orphanage that they're going to be supporting. One of our dreams and visions is to be connected with an orphanage, and this trip came up. And they're first, and we have people going to L.A. next week, and we have people going to Monterrey, Mexico next week. And we've become a culture of missions, and we're really excited about them going, especially Michelle going, because it's our first trip. Gives me so much joy to see you go. They're both sisters. They're both alike. So God's going to change them on now. Can we all stand? We're going to pray over them and God's grace. And this is the gospel. They're actually going to do with children, but they're going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. How many want to be on this stage next year? Let me tell you what boldness does. Boldness says, I have a passport, I have $25 for an application, I don't have any money, but I have Jesus. That's boldness. And then 7 weeks later, we got a trip. All we got to do is push beyond the fear. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you right now for these two missionaries, Lord God. Suzette, Michelle, Lord God, I thank you right now, Father, as they're getting ready, Lord God, to honor you with their time and their talent, and they're going to advance the kingdom through that trip, Lord God. Father, I thank you for them and others that are leaving from the States going over there, Lord God. I thank you, Father, for an amazing time. I thank you, Lord, that it's not going to just change the people over there. It's going to change them, yes, Lord. That there's a rendezvous that's going to be amazing, Father. Lord, I thank you for their faith that's going to increase. Father, their joy is going to increase. Their mission is going to be so clearly noticeable what you had called them to do, Father. And Father, we declare them right now in the name of Jesus. We anoint them. We commission them, Father, as your missionaries, God, to carry your word and carry your presence over to South Africa, God. Thank you so much for them, Lord God. Thank you that you had called them before the foundation of the earth. And you knew this was going to take place before we even knew it, God. And I thank you right now, Lord, that you bless them. Be with them, Lord God. I thank you for the other people on the trip, Lord God, that is going to form such a unity, Lord. And I thank you for the fruit that's going to come forth beyond us, Lord. The children that we're going to be able to meet from this trip, Lord God. That the doors are opening, Father God. And I thank you for the seeds that are going to be planted, Father. So I ask you, bless them, Father. Empower them, Lord. The gifts and calling that's in them, Father, we ask them to explode right now in the name of Jesus. That which they know is in them will come out, Father God. And I thank you right now for salvation after salvation after salvation of that orphanage, God. And I thank you, Lord God, for them that going forth, Lord, as sisters, God. Not by accident, by your design. And I thank you, Lord God. They're your workmanship created in Christ Jesus. For good works, a marvelous work, a wonderful work, your masterpiece. Bless them today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone say, amen, amen and amen. Let's go ahead, Lord, a hand clap. Come on. It's amazing. I love that stuff. So let me pray for you guys. Remember, from 1 to 10, 1 to 10. Be who God called you to be. And don't be afraid. Persecution will come. Problems will come. But greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I have to remind myself all the time. Greater is he that's in me, that's he that's in the world. And whatever I'm going through, he's already been through it. He's already been victorious over it. Father, I thank you for these amazing people, Father. Thank you for showing us what boldness is. Thank you for showing us what boldness is. Thank you for stretching out our tents, stretching out our faith. Father, I thank you for these amazing people going overseas. Thank you for those who are going to Monterrey, Mexico. Those who are going to L.A. to touch those folks in L.A., our church in L.A. Renew Church, Father. I thank you for their receiving those missionaries this week, next week, Father God. Thank you for our students coming back from their trip, Lord. I ask for safe passage down these roads, Lord. Thank you for the marvelous and numerous salvations and baptisms that took place and recommittals, Lord, and those who commissioned to give their lives fully to Christ and serving you, Father. And I thank you for everyone here, Lord, that there's no such thing as a misstep in your life, in your kingdom. Father, where we stepped out, you already have us in your hand. I pray right now for a repositioning of people in this place, God. A recalibration of our thoughts, a recalibration of our hearts, a reigniting of our passions, God, that might have been taken out by the enemy, might have tried to take us out, Father. And that's right now, Lord. We're not playing to lose, we play to win. And Father, you know that the scars are there, but scars are there to show other people. And I thank you, Father. Reignite our passion, reignite our boldness, reignite that which you have put in each and every one of us, God. Father, let us walk around with childlike faith. Doesn't matter how old we are, it's about how young we are in you. We thank you today. We bless you today. Bless these amazing people today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand clap if you can. Come on, you can do better than that. Amen. Everybody say amen. Say amen. You guys are amazing. You are dismissed.